Good evening. Welcome to the Manasquan School District Board of Education Committee of the Whole meeting for September 15th, 2015. Call to order our opening statement. Pursuant to NJSA 10:4-10, notice of this meeting has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press, the Co-Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and in the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Sandy, please.
Mr. Burns.
Here.
Mr. Catani.
Here.
Mr. Clayton.
Here.
Mrs. DePalma. Mr. Fiore.
Here.
Mr. Gardner. Mrs. Garrett Muley.
Here.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Here.
Mrs. Smith. Mr. Serino.
Here.
Mr. Vitale. Mr. Walsh. We have quorum.
Our mission statement. Manasquan School District mission is to empower students to reach their potential and become lifelong learners. We strive to ensure that students play an active role in their education, are guided by rigorous academic standards aligned with the New Jersey Core Curriculum Content Standards, and function within the community that regards students, educators, and parents as full participants in the educational process. We dedicate ourselves to the realization of a supportive learning environment that nurtures growth, personal integrity, and mutual respect. Our statement to the public. Oftentimes, it may appear to members of our audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment and in many cases by unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next committee of the whole meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After the committee of the whole approves the matter, it is then placed on the agenda for action at a public meeting. In rare instances, matters are presented to the Board of Education for discussion at the same meeting that final action may be taken. Since this is a committee of the whole meeting, next week we will be asking for a motion to accept minutes from prior meetings. We will have a student board representative report, if that person is ready. And that takes us to number 8. Do we need a motion? Or do we need a
Or do you want to talk about the presentation? Go ahead.
Tonight
we have two presentations, and I take pride in focusing on the resolution that we have to read this evening. To put people first, it takes character, commitment, and stewardship. And Matthew, I was so impressed the fact that you not only put the organization first, but you put children who demonstrated a need to run around those trees every day in front of the elementary school first and foremost in your mind. You saw something that needed to be fixed, and you came to the board and you asked us to give you the ability to fix it without any financial remuneration. And that night I sat here and I thought to myself, it was very noble of you, but I wanted to see how this went. So both Ms. Coates and I set up several meetings with you to hear your plan and to see how you move forward. You were very diligent, very organized, you did it very well. Your parents should be really proud of what he did, how he did it, and how you went out. We offered you help, and you never came to me, although many times you were in my office, said to me, Dr. Cajun, can you call? You said, do you have any ideas? And then you took the ball and you got it done. I can't thank you enough for that. And tonight we're going to see some pictures focused on the front of the school. But before we do that, we do have a resolution for you that I would ask our board president to read.
Thank you. We will be recommending approval of the resolution as follows, in recognition of the completion of the Eagle Scout project at the Manasquan Elementary School. And it reads, whereas the Board of Education of the Manasquan School District has adopted a mission which emphasizes that students play an active role in their education and are guided by rigorous academic standards aligned to the Common Core State Standards and the New Jersey Core Curriculum Content Standards, and function within a community that regards students, educators, and parents as full participations in the educational process. And furthermore, recognizes the importance of strengthening the connection between the classroom and the community. As evidenced by the Eagle Scout Project at the Manasquan Elementary School, organized by Matthew Ertl. And whereas the Board of Education of the Manasquan School District has made a commitment to building student leadership and increasing opportunities for young people to lead and to serve. And whereas life skills, not just academic skills, are necessary for becoming a successful individual and a contributing member for your community. And whereas the Board of Education of the Manasquan School District is committed to developing citizens of today and tomorrow. And whereas the Board of Education of the Manasquan School District is committed to fostering self-empowerment, promoting community service, and civic participation, and equipping our students with the knowledge and confidence to serve and safeguard their communities. And whereas training our students to act as leaders for their families and communities benefits the Manasquan community. The Board of Education recognizes the efforts of Matthew Ertl and his leadership in spearheading the Eagle Scout Project at the Manasquan Elementary School. And therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Education of the Manasquan School District acknowledges on the 15th of September, 2015, the completion of the Eagle Scout Project and compliments the stewardship, selflessness, commitment, and volunteerism demonstrated by Matthew Ertl.
Before I move to the pictures that we took in front of the elementary school, I also want to compliment you from being chosen as the Manasquan Elk Lodge number 2354 Teenager of the Month because of your efforts of what you've done here. And as we move forward, here's a picture of you and your best friend, not only as I observed you doing a wheelbarrow, but I also caught you putting in the plants this evening that were delivered, making sure they're done right, and I thank you for that. And also, as you can see, we have some pictures of what the front of the school now looks like because of your efforts. Congratulations, and thank you. Would you like to sing anything?
Sure.
Please.
6 months ago, I came up to all of you and I requested to have this project done. At first, I was like, wow, I'm getting the $14,000 bill from one company. I was like, wow, I got a lot of car washes to do. But now, with the help of Dr. Kasem, Mrs. Coates, Mrs. Dietrich, everybody who has helped me out thus far, words can't really cover all that everything means to me. All the businesses were really, really great. What I really admired was the fact that they didn't treat me like some naive kid who was in way over his head. They treated me like a client. They went out, they looked at it, they asked me for what I wanted to do. They didn't tell me what they were going to do. They asked me what I wanted to do. And they, on that first Monday, when we had R&M Landscaping come out and have his guy come out and grade all of it, having all those guys standing out there looking over this project, it made me feel really, really good to see all these people come together. Just a special thank you to Craig Dell'Agrippo from R&M Landscaping, Aaron Norigian from ELD, who was actually a latecomer, and I really do appreciate his ability to work with me as quickly as possible. Brook Rest Sod Farm, they were a huge help. They came in, they consistently called me, making sure that I had proper irrigation. They weren't gonna let 10,500 square feet of sod go to waste and die on me. So they had the guy who himself is an Eagle Scout as well, came out, or he called me and told me, and he was really understanding with the whole situation. Tom White from Millbrook Sprinklers over here in Manasquan right next to Surf Taco came out. He was a huge help the entire time. Very, very, very hardworking. All these guys are hardworking guys, and I honestly could not have done it without them. A lot of my good friends came out. They helped me. Even Mr. Highland, the athletic trainer over here, came out, who was also an Eagle Scout. He came and donated his time on his day off from doing football. He came out and donated his time to help me out as much as possible. But I'd like to thank Dr. Kasem as a big benefactor because he and I had meetings monthly, weekly, every 2 weeks, whatever it was. And he was really, really good at communicating with me and making sure I was on top of everything, because he himself did not want to see this project go to waste, and nor did I, obviously. And here we are. The plants are in the process of getting put in right now. The grass is taking, and everything is starting to come into place. And as much as I wanted to imagine what it would look like done, just seeing it all done, having everything in place, and seeing what the final product looks like, it really puts a smile on my face. And I said it when I first pitched this idea, and I'm going to say it again. It exemplifies the qualities of the school now. Nashquan Elementary gave me 9 good years of education, and it's the least I can do to pay them back. And now I feel that facade of the school really exemplifies those qualities that I hold near and dear to myself. So I want to thank you all tonight for honoring me, and thank you all for your undying support, because it really got me through. Thank you.
Do we have a motion to approve the resolution? Mrs. Muley, seconded by Mr. Serino. Any discussion?
I just wanted to say that, you know, sitting at that gate, picking up my daughter and dropping her off every day, Matt, the parents, the kids, all just talk about how beautiful it is and how impressed they are with what you did, as well as having a child who you invited to come out and help. And I appreciate you getting him involved, because he really looks up to you as a role model. And I couldn't ask for a better kid for him to look up to, so I appreciate that involvement as well. Thank you.
Sandy?
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mr. Fiore?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Gary?
Our second presentation this evening is focused on Mr. Pataglia's AP Calculus students, focusing on a student transition and student orientation program. I truly believe that education should be focused on lifelong learning, and that we should not have classes that start with a bell or end with a bell. I haven't moved towards that yet. I really believe that the teacher and the student should be in command of their educational journey, and they together should be developing curriculum and moving forward. And I was so impressed in late May or June, Paul, when you came over to me to talk to me, and you said, yeah, my AP students have been working on some projects, some programs, and could you please come over and listen to what they have? And I said, sure. And I went over, and I was so, not surprised, but I received it so well, and all their ideas were focused on doing things better here. And they took their time to develop action plans after they had gone through a rigorous calculus AP studies, and instead of relaxing at the end of the year, which many AP students do, having taught AP, I know it's hard to motivate them when they feel they're finished and they've already done their test and they're ready to go now for the summer, but they focused on how they could make the school better. And that's a tribute to you, to them, and to their parents. So I receive you with open arms tonight. I'm so happy, and I can't wait to hear what they have to say for us, and I can't thank you enough. Learning truly should be lifelong, and that's something that you taught them this year. Not to say, and congratulations to you, because your students did so well, and to them, in the AP calculus testing, which we'll focus on in our second meeting in September. So Paul, if you could.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I brought along, Brian Limbo, and just want to give everybody a quick summary so that they can kind of follow along here. Nothing too involved.
Thank you.
As Dr. Cajun said, and thank you for having us tonight, it's really a credit to you that you came and listened while they chatted away for an hour.
That was great.
So, real quick, and congratulations to Matt and Earl as well. He did a great job, and it's great because that's an accidental segue, which will help us a little bit, because of the pride that Matthew took in the elementary school is kind of the same pride that my class was taking in the school here. And so they had some ideas that they came up with. I'll give you a quick little background. At the end of the AP exam, as AP teachers, we have the opportunity or the option to administer a final exam, boo, or we can come up with a final project if our supervisor approves it and our principal approves it. And so every year for the past couple of years, we've actually gone the project route because we've come up with some pretty good ideas. And on the heels of some of the surveys that the administration sent out earlier in the year last year, I talked to Mr. Coppola and Craig Muren, our math supervisor, and said, you know, I kind of think that my group would be really good to break up and think a little bit about how we can handle some of the things that came out of that survey. And some of those things that both parents said, and community members said, and staff said, where we need to take a look at a couple things and can we do things a little differently or a little bit better. And so we broke our class into groups. I think we had probably about 10 or 11 groups. And they all had to come up with their own idea for what needed to improve. But not only that, as Dr. Cajun said, it wasn't important to just say stuff. They had to have some substance behind it and they had to be able to come up with an action plan. Some of the things you see on this list really are just more a general scope, but I have here with me and even up in my room, detailed action plans for any one of these things. So if it's the board's wish or the administration's wish to implement any of these things, which we hope some of them hopefully get implemented, we'd be happy to sit down with you. And we have, 13 lingering students from last year, right? So some of the seniors moved on, but they can speak just as eloquently as Brian will do tonight about some of the ideas. I'll talk a little bit about the first objective, and then I'll hand it over to Brian. Because you're going to see, as we talked about with Matt, you talked a lot about pride, and the students want to see more people come here. And they want to see the stigma that has kind of hovered over the high school particularly go away. And I think there's no better opinion than theirs. And so as you look through their first objective, and this is really a generality of most of the groups, their objective was to dispel some of the stereotypes that people have about this high school and why they should choose this high school over some of the other neighboring high schools as they come in and make their decision as eighth graders. So some of the strategies that they came up with were revising the freshman transition program and looking at maybe incorporating some of the seventh graders, not just the eighth graders. That way, when they go back again in their eighth grade year, their familiar faces to some of these seventh graders. And alongside with that, they could have some breakout small sessions with some of those students and make it more personal so that maybe the students can do a little bit more of the presenting instead of the teacher. They think it might go a little bit further because what they're telling me, and they're telling us, the students, is that students want other students to tell them about the experience. They don't necessarily want the teacher, they don't necessarily want the principal or the board to tell them about what the experience is like. They want the authentic idea of what do you experience on a day-to-day basis as a 9th through 12th grader. And so that was kind of the first strategy that came up. And then the second one was to try and get the parents separately to hear some of the authentic stories, some testimonials by students. Right now, what do? We bring parents in and they listen to any number of teachers and staff talk about programs we have here. And it's easy to maybe buy in or not buy in, but I think when you have someone like Brian stand up or another student from all walks of life, whether it be the band or the key club or football or the chess club, talk about what it's like for them to go here on a daily basis, we think that really goes a lot farther than here's a PowerPoint, here's what we do. Because the reality, and this is what they're telling me, the reality is, when you compare us to other schools in terms of open houses or presentations, there's a lot of things that we don't do differently. They vacuum, we vacuum. They wax the floors, we wax the floors. Okay? We make everything look great, they make everything look great. Our science lab look great. Oh, so does theirs. I mean, who would not do all those things if you knew you had people coming in? But what differentiates some of the schools that they're visiting when they're eighth graders, they're telling me, is the way things are being presented and how it's being presented. And there's a lot of focus on student presentation and not necessarily staff presentation. So the third one, and then I'll hand it over to Brian, was kind of like an out there idea. And this is something that Mr. Cornegay would have to be on board with also. But they thought if they could get those students to some of our events, whether it be football games or basketball games, they even went as far as, and I'm not sure I agree with this, but suggesting that we should have some of the middle school students sit in the student section during a really big basketball game. It's a great idea, and it's possibly a way for them to see what the environment's like here and how our students support each other and their peers. And these are kind of, there's some of the ideas are out there, but some of them make a lot of sense, and some of them really go a long way in saying, hey, we want you here. You have 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th graders saying, we want you. And, you know, that doesn't happen at this age that much, you know. And so that's kind of what they were giving us, you know. So Brian's going to talk a little bit about social media.
So everyone knows how big social media has come on in the last few years. And we were just thinking that maybe, I know that Mr. Beach told me that Manasquan Schools and Manasquan Board of Ed has a Twitter account. And that's great. But we thought that maybe the high school by itself should have a Twitter, Instagram, all these social media accounts. And not just post pictures or videos of football games or basketball games, but special events like Squanathon and Life is Good Day and stuff like that. And also inform the students of SAT dates and AP dates and when the AP scores are coming out. And just really like try and hype up the school, but just there's a lot more going on than maybe parents or the public sees and the community sees in our school. And then also we just, along with the social media, we, after going through and talking about, especially with my group right now, about freshman transition and orientation and open houses, we didn't really agree with how much the administration likes to talk about tradition. And Manasquan does have a great tradition. We agree with that, absolutely. But it's almost to the point where students come, because I've been to, since I've been here, I mean, eighth grade, and then freshman, sophomore, junior year, and now I'm a senior, I've been to every single open house and orientation. And it just cuts to the point where you almost think that the school, like, it seems almost that the school is not ready for change or doesn't want change. And that's not true, because, I mean, there's every single student in the school has a tablet this year. And personally, I love the tablet. I'm on it every night watching Netflix or whatever.
But educational.
No, and it does have great
Brian, were you writing notes in my class on the tablet?
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
And for the first time, I wrote notes on the tablet, and I really liked it. But we just want the students to know that Manasquan's open to change and that the administration's open to change too, and that you can come to the school with new ideas and present them, and people will accept them, and you can have your own change. That's just that, and that goes along with social media, how that's a new thing to the school. And it's great that the Twitter page is presenting the referendum so much, because it's so important to the school and the future of the school. That's just what we have for that one. And then objective two, which I know my group talked about this one a lot, which was to improve the open house and orientation. And then first, the open house, which is during, is that the winter of?
Yeah, late fall.
Late fall, right. Mm-hmm. And that the presentation should be a little shorter, we think, because although the parents might be interested, but the students might not be as interested. And maybe just create a pamphlet with everything that it entails. And because, I mean, the parents who will be watching most of the, or paying attention the most to the speakers, they will definitely read the pamphlet, I'm sure, and because they want their kid to go to child to go to the right place. And then we also feel that what we have at orientation in the gym with all the clubs and sports around the gym almost might be a good idea to put at the open house. So then students, before they even know where they're going to go to school yet, they can see all the clubs and sports that Manasquan has and how much we offer, and then how much fun they can have and how involved you can get. And we just thought that that might be a really good idea to have at the open house, and maybe as well at the orientation. And then the orientation, we thought, like, the change to the cookout this year, I thought that was awesome. Better than the little mixer that they used to have. And that was one of our main ideas, too. And so that was definitely, I thought, a very good improvement. And then also team-building activities. I mean, some of them you can try and incorporate. They might not work. But I know some of the activities we did, especially at Squanathon, we had Mr. Harvey do a little improv skit and incorporate some of the
300 people.
Yeah, 300 people. And then the participants got to participate. And I thought it was hilarious, and it was funny, and it just kept everyone interested. And that's really what you want. And then the lecture in the gym, you need a lecture in the gym. I understand that. But almost just shorten it and same thing. The parent, I think that the parents will definitely read what everyone has to say and that they'll really take it to heart. But obviously the students will lose interest, but that's just 14-year-old kids. So and then, okay. Go ahead, Maddie.
No, I was just going to say, so you can hear the theme, and I think the overriding theme is, you know, let the parents deal with the people that they would normally deal with on a day-to-day basis, be that the administration or the teachers, and let the students deal with who they're going to deal with on a day-to-day basis. And you go to an open house, and if you break them out and you say, hey, we're going to have some student leaders guide you around the school, and we'll go talk to some clubs, and we'll go check in on a history class, and we'll talk to this history teacher or this math teacher. Meanwhile, you know, parents can ask the guidance questions, they can ask the athletics questions and things like that. On paper, it makes a lot of sense, you know, so, but yeah, interesting.
No, it's just that one thing I actually wanted to say at the beginning, but I forgot it first, was just how I was actually very surprised, because when we were assigned this project and put in groups, I thought that everyone was going to have pretty much the same ideas to change. And obviously, I think almost every group had the social media part of it involved, but that's just because of our day and age and how involved we are with technology. But I was just shocked at how many different ideas, and it's not that it was a broken system, because it wasn't at all. We just think there's always room for improvement. So that's really what we were just trying
to do. I think at the end of the year, to kind of conclude and wrap everything up, that was what that they wanted to leave. The thing I told them was, you know, this is your chance, and again, thank you to you all and Dr. Kasia for having us. Because, you know, I was kind of putting myself out there and promising them that their voices would be heard, even if they were on the college, that we would be able to present these ideas. So thank you for listening to them. And I told them, you know, hopefully when you come back here next year or the year after, like we know they do, they'll be able to say, wow, okay, we thought of that. You know, that's a great thing. And they know not everything, and I know not everything is going to come to be, and that's okay. But Brian hit the nail on the head. It's not about change, it's about improvement. We just want to make sure that we can improve as much as possible and that, you know, everybody sees us for who we are, which is we think we're one of the best high schools around. So, and our kids will go to bat more than the teachers for that. So, you know, thank you for the time.
Well, Paul, if I could say, I mean, as a superintendent, I spend many hours thinking about how I could develop ownership. Ownership in my staff, ownership in the administration, ownership in the students for this educational institution. Because when it boils down to it, it's about the students owning their learning. And this is a great example of ownership tonight. I mean, I can't thank you enough. And I know you didn't look at it this way, but you took a project and you want to own the responsibility of making Manasquan High School better. It really doesn't get any better than that. And to me, I've been here now a little over a year. This is a highlight for me. This wasn't what it was all about, but I'm telling you, it just touched my soul, because this is what education is all about. And thank you. And change happens, and for enduring change to occur happens a little slower than you'd like to see. But you've even stated tonight, you've seen change start to evolve because of the students planting these seeds. And you will see some of these ideas take hold. And I can't thank you enough for it. People are listening.
So if anybody has any questions, even in the future, you know, just reach out to me. And anybody who's still left from the class, Brian, and there's about 12 other people, any of them would be happy to meet with you. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Did they present this to the administration?
Yes.
Who runs it?
Okay. All of the groups, in fact, sat down with the administration and I as well. And I will take this to them as well. And you can see some changes occurring. The orientation will be changing as well, and the administration is listening, which is a great, great thing. I'll move on to the Committee of a Whole and reports and discussion items. Education, curriculum, and technology. Our one-to-one initiative, we have given out 909 tablets. And I'd like to focus on the tablet for a minute here. One of the quirks, give me a good word, Jesse, for the situation with the filter.
Quirks
is an excellent word. One of the quirks with the tablets has been that there's a filter that comes installed in the tablet that when the child takes the tablet home, it filters what can go out on the internet. And we had that placed. It's from Light Speed is the name of the filter that's on there. Now, we gave out 909 tablets. In a minority of tablets, what's occurring is when the child takes the tablet home to go on the internet, it's blocking the entire internet in some cases. But we're working on it. Each time it happens, they bring it into the tech team. The tech team takes it and fixes it. But I'm very happy to report, and I'm going to turn this over to Jesse in a second, that as I walk around the school, and Paul, you can attest to this as well, many teachers are utilizing the tablets in the classroom, especially for note-taking with OneNote. And Jesse, if I could just turn this over to you now with the one-to-one initiative and how well you feel we're doing at this early juncture.
Sure. As Dr. Cajun said, we're continuing to do distribution this week. As of this afternoon, I think we're up to about 912 devices that are out in the field right now. We will be distributing them to eighth graders tomorrow during their English classes in the elementary school. So that'll be about another 70 or so. So we're very close to, you know, almost having every student with one. Students who have not picked up a device yet, their guidance counselors are meeting with them, I believe this week, to kind of see, you know, what they're doing and where they're going. But, you know, I think it's important to recognize that with any program like this, with any large-scale distribution, and this certainly is more than anything we've ever done here, you know, in any way, you know, there's going to be these hiccups, and you know, we are certainly working through them. Nobody, you know, cares more about this program than I do, except that we've had occasion, and we're doing our best to correct any of those issues that are cropping up, and I'm very confident that we will. So.
I had Jesse reach out to other districts today and just ask them the question about the filtering. I really believe that we do have a responsibility, since it's a tablet that we're providing to children, to still have a filtering device on that once they go outside the confines of the school. That's my personal belief. It's something that the board does have a policy about, and we do have a policy about utilizing the tablet. And 60% of the responses that we received back, they also, if they're having one-to-ones, they have a filtering device on either their iPad, their laptop, or their tablet that they're handing out. So I did want to bring that to the board's attention, just in case you wanted to have a discussion about that, you wanted to amend the policy, or you wanted to focus on this, or you heard that this had been happening, and I just wanted to let you know why. Any comments or questions?
I've heard more about the filtering with the emails, with the school being sent, that there's the new filtering, and there's been multiple times that there's been emails sent and they're not getting received.
Well, it goes into our spam file if it's not addressed properly. And they do give us a notice of all the spam, unlike the last filtering device that we had. I'll get a pop-up on my email that'll list all of the emails that went into the spam, and then I can check through them to see exactly if there's something that shouldn't be there and I should have received. And I'm gonna let Lynn focus on how she addressed this also, which really helped, because it has been a problem with a lot of emails. And I think something that you directed Jesse to do with the emails really helped. Lynn?
So Jesse and I had a conversation about some of the emails that come to us on a regular basis from other school districts, from other organizations. And what we did was we compiled, it's a pretty short list, but we compiled a list of emailed, like the end of the email address, and Jesse was able to put it into the system so they would no longer be dropped into the spam folder. But the list that Dr. Cajun says that every morning we get, it pops up in our email, so it's normally the first email of the day that we see. When you click on that link, it opens up and it'll show you everything that went into spam from about 12 midnight the night before. So you can forward just that one email, or there's also a button that you can click that will release all emails from that person from that point forward. So, I mean, once we were all familiar with that system, it's become less cumbersome now that we know how to, you know, maneuver through it.
So spam, because spam used to be like where if you were bulk emailing people that it would get dropped into spam. Yeah. But now it seems to be even like if you're direct emailing, it's still getting into the spam folders.
I think, you know, this is one of the STEM is one of these topics that, that never seems to go away. Right? I think the problem with it is we always have to take a delicate balance between allowing too much spam through, right, or blocking, over blocking, right, and that's really the problem. Spam, you know, people, whoever, organizations, people, whatever out there that are generating spam have become increasingly sophisticated over the years. So they really go out of their way to try to make messages that are spam now look like they're not. So these content filters that, or these spam filters that we use, you know, are really going through a pretty extensive rule process to determine and give it a rating, and then based on that rating, decide whether it's going to be allowed through or not. In the prior system that we had in place, basically what would happen is when emails came into the district, and to give you a perspective on how much spam you get, our district receives about 30,000 emails every day, okay, from the outside world. About 10,000 of those, or I'm sorry, about 3,000 of those are legitimate messages, okay? So 90% of the email that comes into our district every day is spam. What was happening in the old filter was all of those messages that were quarantined or deemed to be spam would go into what I would kind of call like a black hole because no one would ever see them. We could go, as the technology staff, we could go look if someone really lost something or forgot about them and retrieve them, but you as the end user would not know, you know, that that was happening. With the new system, what we've tried to do is put a little bit more control in the user's hands. So as Lynn said, as the presentation said, every morning at about 3 a.m., every user gets that spam report, okay, that lists all the messages. So you can, you know, it takes about, what, a minute, 2 minutes. You kind of just breeze through that list and see if I see anything that looks legitimate. I, as the user, then have the ability to, as Lynn said, release it or also add a rule right in there that says, don't ever block this person again. And then that message, you know, comes through right away. You know, I think it's still going to be a delicate balancing act between, you know, over-blocking and under-blocking. What I think the power of this system allows us to do, and again, there is a learning curve, you know, being used to it, and there's also a learning curve for that device, because as teachers, administrators, whoever, are looking at that report and releasing messages, that filtering system is then learning itself, right, that these are, you know, the messages that we want to allow for. So I think we're in a little bit of a transition period with that to kind of iron it out. And we're looking at it too, you know, so when a teacher or someone emails me and be like, you know, this wasn't spam, you know, why do I do that? I open a support case with the company, they kind of look at it and see, you know, what was the reason.
To be honest with you, it takes me more than a couple of minutes to go through mine, and sometimes I'll miss things that shouldn't be in spam. And if I do, I apologize. And I do go back, and I also have my administrative assistant, my secretary, she looks through it as well and make sure I haven't missed anything, because I get quite a few.
I just see, like, a, you know, an issue with if a teacher is being emailed, and the parent emails again, and the parent emails again, and they're not getting any communication, then that escalates
that happens.
It's happening. It escalates to frustration, which then in turn, so.
One of the things that, you know, we all get that report in the morning and we can click on it. I mean, when a teacher's in a classroom, you know, their priority in the morning is their students. So, you know, they might not get to that you know, email to click until 9 or 10 o'clock whenever their prep is. But then what I was finding, I was working on a specific project and I was emailing somebody and I was waiting for a response and they weren't responding. I mentioned something to Jesse, and I realized that during the day there's a way that you can actually monitor your spam folder during the day. So I asked him if he could please send an email out to the staff and describe what that is. You know, because that way, if you know you're waiting for something, you can at least check to see if it went in there. We're also going to be, I'm not sure if it's completed yet, but there's going to be kind of like a rule set up that if I email someone, when that person responds, that person is already acknowledged and they won't be dropped into the spam folder because I emailed them, I initiated the email. Therefore, they know I'm waiting for a response. So that'll be helpful also.
We also just kind of, as an aside to this, with all of our 6 through 12 students this year, they all have school district email accounts. So when students are emailing their teachers or vice versa from inside the district, those of course don't, you know, are not subject to spam. So like you said, it's more of an issue with parents, you know, and outside. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. You have a list of the back to school nights, as you can see at the high school and the elementary schools. And also, any questions about the back to school nights? At each back to school night, I will be available for any comments or questions from the parents, but I'm not gonna make it a focus of the beginning of the back to school night. The principals will let them know that, and Lynn and I will be available to answer any questions, and we'll be at a table. But that night's about the child and focusing on the teacher and the curriculum. But we'll be there to talk about the referendum if necessary. Regarding a referendum, in the board update, everybody received the pictures that appear behind me, and we're asking the board to decide on the front of the building this evening. And this is the first portrayal of what the front of the building looked like. And everybody also has these pictures in their packet this evening. And that's the new rendition. And as you can see, the front of the building has been taken off in regards to the overhang. The green that you can see there, which serves as for part of the biology lab, has been changed to a lighter shade, and there is a faux roof and a roof stack. And I, as you can see, I think that this second rendition shows us more of a blend into the high school, like that addition was almost there always. So I'm asking the board to decide on the first rendition or the second tonight as we move forward, and also taking a look at the tennis courts. If we'd like to keep the tennis courts or remove them, having spoken or getting information from an arborist, am I correct, Lynn?
Yes.
It's a possibility that by putting that tennis court out front, that the fence will intrude upon one of the big oak trees, we might lose that tree. Now, if we take one of the courts away, having spoken to the tennis coaches, we might as well take them both away, because four courts don't do them much good. They need five. They have been using three for years, and they said that if the board decides to take the one away, that they can continue with three. They have won state championships using three. Just a little bit more difficult to have a match on one hand, and on the other hand, parents like that because it gives them opportunities to everybody play at the same time. If all the doubles, the singles, everybody's playing on three courts, they can watch everybody play as long as they have enough light. And the other thing is that the parking spaces, as you can see in this rendition, are not in front of the building anymore. If this rendition is chosen, they've been moved to where the other tennis court was, and we went from 16 parking spaces in front to 34 parking spaces in the back. So it doubled the amount of parking spaces that we have. Go ahead, Tom.
Just to go back to the tennis courts, when you spoke to the tennis coach, what was it? He had a feeling about the tree also, as far as losing the tree.
He definitely told me if it came between a tennis court and a tree, he wouldn't do that to me. He wanted the tree. He said because he felt the community would be very upset with losing that tree, as I would, because one of the things that we spoke to the engineer about was to make sure we can place it there without losing either one of the trees, but it seems like we would lose one of them. You want to add anything to this at all?
No, just from the discussions we had with the feedback we were getting from some people in the community on the front of the school and how picturesque it is today, and how the proposed referendum was gonna take away from that, or was gonna somehow, you know, alter the appearance. They wanted to, you know, everyone that did provide us with feedback likes the front of the school the way it is, understands the need and the safety reasons for having a bus loop and a car loop, but didn't quite understand why we wanted to put parking spots out there, whether they be, you know, temporary for people to go in and out. And I think it was a great idea, but I think by being as collaborative as we've been and by taking everyone's opinions into consideration, we may have over collaborated, if that's possible. And I think by piecing it together the way we did to try to satisfy, you know, all the needs that we feel we have, you know, infrastructure wise, we may have overbuilt a little bit, and it was getting to the point where people were starting to come to us and say, you know, we don't support the referendum, and the reasons are simple. It's not that we don't think the science labs and the doors and windows and HVAC and the fields, you know, and it'd be nice to have tennis courts, and it'd be nice to have parking in the front, but it's too much, and it takes away from the character of the building, and people really waxed poetic about the character of the front of the building and how they like the great lawn and they like how the school looks today. And they would be dissatisfied if we just put another addition on the school to service the needs that we have, but didn't make it somehow seamlessly look like, you know, they almost wanted the building to look like it was all built the same day and not appear so modern and so new. And I think the picture really speaks to that. When you take something as simple as the greenhouse, when you take the green glass out and put in regular glass and accentuate the white, the framing and the white pillars in front instead of the brick, I just think it makes it look more seamless. And that was the feedback we were getting. I mean, I was talking to Dr. Cajun out in front of his office one day, and we had a car make a U-turn right in front of the school and come back and offer a lot of those sentiments. And you know, and she had gone to school here, and her parents had gone to school here, and her grandkids are going to school here, and she, in her eyes, she couldn't believe what we were doing. But it wasn't just one person. It was getting to be more and more people. And you know, we've tried to do the best we can to listen to everybody, and this is just another extension of listening to the feedback, and not being stubborn or adamant about any one detail, but trying to get as many opinions as we can. So I applaud the quickness. You know, when we brought some of these ideas to the architect and the engineer, I can't thank them enough again for turning things around so quickly, as far as getting us the information that we need, so that the board can make a decision on what, you know, what's best for the entire project, and maybe not get bogged down in a couple of these details. Thank you.
Non-negotiables for me would be the parking lanes in front. Not the parking lanes, but the bus lane and the car lane. We have to make that a little bit wider, and you need a divider out there. I'm there for the most part every day, and I can watch, and knock on wood, we haven't had any accidents. Manasquan going drivers are wonderful, I've said it 100 times, but it will make it easier for buses and cars with that. And this rendition shows how wide it could be, but I still think we need a separation. I almost pointed at the screen, but you wouldn't see where I was pointing. Separation for the car and the bus lanes, not just lines, but this would be one would be line. And we're growing. I know our student population doesn't seem like it, but I follow the emails that are being sent from the person who's responsible for parking in the high school, and parking's becoming a real challenge for our teachers. We have some more teachers this year, even though they're not new hires. And in the beginning of the year now, it seems like if they leave their parking spot, somebody's there when they come back from lunch. So those 34 or 36 spots that we'll have will help, and also gives us an opportunity if we wanted to make it as a bonus for the top 10 students in the senior class to have a parking spot, we could do that as well. But I would leave that up to my administration. So, but I would like the board to address this evening. If we'll call this A, and with the tennis courts, and we'll call that B. If we could decide tonight on which rendition they would like. We could do that, right?
Sure.
Is that okay, Tom?
Mm-hmm.
You want to do it now or at the end?
No better time.
Tom, I have a question on the...
Sure, Ken.
Could you go over what exactly the... So there would be no changes to the tennis courts? Is that what you're saying?
Tennis courts would stay exactly as they are. There will be no new tennis courts. The tennis court in the back of the building to the left that appeared right next to the football field, that'll become a parking lot with an entrance from the road going on there. And that would be between 34, at the top of my head, I forgot, I think it's 34 to 36 parking spots. I was really surprised when I counted them up to see they got that many out of that area. So that would be there. No new tennis courts, no.
And that wouldn't affect practice fields?
That would not, because that tennis court wasn't part of the practice field anyway.
Was there a financial impact?
I think it would be more of a positive than a negative. We would not have to add any monies to the project. The monies are struck right now as they are because of the question that went to the state. In order to change the money structure, you would have to go back to the state to increase that again, and we don't have time for that.
And there'd be no overhang.
Correct. There would be no overhang, but I have a real big umbrella that I'm happy with, that I got from the Citadel. It's wonderful. That young lady from the audience that told me to get an umbrella, I listened to her, and when I was down at the Citadel, I bought one.
There's been several umbrellas offered, actually, by people who didn't like the canopy in front of the building.
But I purchased my own.
I didn't say. Anybody else?
I've been hearing the same thing about the front of the school. It just seems like as it's getting closer, people are looking at pictures, and a lot of people didn't like the original design.
Well, solving this tonight will allow us to continue with the marketing as you see it here, and
make
not
sure
and
highlight
not,
that marketing
correct.
Piece.
That's why tonight is we have to decide. So I mean, I guess the simple question would be, is anybody opposed to the rendering that you see behind you now?
No, not, I'm not opposed, but if we are going to, if it does pass, that we go with B, and marketing, it does need to be clearer that the whole picture, like right now, when we're talking about it, saying the loops and that, like, I know this is a last minute type of change, but I think it needs to be clearer when it goes to the marketing piece, that this shouldn't be just the photo that's used, because it doesn't show the fact that all that parking in the front is removed. It doesn't show the change. You know what I mean? Even when we were just talking about it, I was talking to Gene, like, am I missing something that we don't have? Mm-hmm. So just make sure that it's farther back so they can see those changes.
The rendition that we need for that would be an aerial photograph or an aerial rendition. And that would be something that Edwards Engineering would have to draw. It would not serve us well to use that for the brochures that we're sending out, because it would be something that would need to be explained to the people as said. So as you notice, I put in your folder, the next mailing, if tonight was going to be successful, and the picture I have on there was the B, just so you can see how it looked. And then also the door hanger that we'll utilize. And I was going to change that picture tomorrow with the printer if tonight was not successful for B. But I do agree with you. I think once the referendum passes, that we have to show that rendition from up above. And that's when the engineer and the architect really get down to the drawing.
But my concern is if you've got people in the community who are voicing their concerns about the changes to the building, and so much so that we're changing the plan, but we're just going to send this out, like, they're going to miss it. They're going
to
miss that it's been changed.
We need
it needs to be
it
needs to
be
highlighted or bullet pointed so that they know, because otherwise it's just going to be, the assumption is they're changing the front of the building, they're doing the parking in the front. I don't like that. And this, in my opinion, this doesn't show that's changed, whether it needs to be a bullet or something, but I think it needs to be very black and white.
Okay. I'll call Edwards tomorrow, see what he can do for us, and then we'll put on the next flyer that goes out, the bullet point. Yeah. I maybe even get that with the printer tomorrow if I can get to them early enough.
Even if you add it to the website, something additional for the website that points out changes that we did, something like accentuates it, because if enough people are complaining about it or concerned about it, then let's make sure that they understand that we heard them, we made the adjustment to appease.
Because you don't have to just worry about the people that came and spoke to you, who now you said, well, we'll take that into consideration, or can call and say, hey, we made those changes. It's the 25 people that they've spoken to at a cocktail party, or they spoke to at the football game,
you're
that
right.
Maybe isn't going to get the one-on-one, and they forgot to tell all those people that those changes have been made.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Thank you. We need a motion in a second. Mm-hmm.
Plan B.
We need a motion to accept the rendering in Plan B. Mr. Serino, second. Mr. Catani, any further discussion? Sandy?
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
I'm sorry, is this a sending district?
No. It's not a sending district.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Gary?
Thank you. Also, there's a community walkthrough on September 26th with our rain date September 27th, and that's the reason for the door hanger being in the folder.
As of we speak, we have 25 members of our educational community who have volunteered to walk, and we sent another email request out today, hopefully to get 70.
And to Heather's point, if we had something even for that day, that better describes the front, that could be the day to get it actually in people's hands.
We have 7 people in the call center, and we have 7 runners for the night of the referendum. We also have our 8 challengers. And if Lynn would like to focus on the challenger concept that you dealt with for the last 2 days, I want to compliment Lynn for working on it so diligently and getting it done so quickly.
Thank you. The deadline, as we know, was today. Yesterday, I drove a draft list to the office. They would not accept any fax or any emails from us, so I drove it up there. And they explained to me that, unfortunately, we had too many volunteers in the way of a floating challenger. So we had to narrow down our list. I brought it back today, and I did receive, they certified all of the challengers, and I have the credentials in my office. Within the next week or so, maybe week to 10 days, I will be getting to all of the challengers to give them an outline of what the position is and what they can and cannot do when they're at the polls. So whether that's in person, if I can't get to someone in person, it might be on the telephone, but I will make sure we speak to all of the challengers so they know what the job entails. Thank you.
Thank you. You also have in your black folders a list of the curriculums that are online, and they're there for everyone to see. As you can see, we have quite a few, so it was hard to print them all out. Barbara Kerensky will be at the next board meeting. Tonight she's adhering to the holiday, and she'll have answer any questions you have. Okay? If you want to stop in the office and take a look at that robotics curriculum, you can.
I want to go back a second with Lynn.
Sure.
How many polling spots are there?
4.
So there'll be, 2 people at each spot?
We're only permitted a total of 8, and that includes any type of floaters.
And have we figured out the communication? Be able to use the internet?
Yes, that's one of the things I'll be reviewing with the challengers. The challengers will be permitted to have a smartphone, a tablet, or a laptop. I was told that in person today.
It's a phone, that's fine.
Right. Their phones cannot be making any noise. They must be silenced.
Yeah. So. We're going to come up with a way to somehow utilize technology to make this easier.
When you say runners, I get a little scared with you.
Drivers, maybe. Driving.
Thank you.
So the curriculums that are online, are these for all grade levels?
These are the ones that were worked on. And yes, we do have the curriculums for all grade levels on the that we have. But the ones that have been corrected over the summer are the ones that I would like to focus on. And those are the ones that Barbara will come. But she'll ask a question on any other curriculums. And we did get our CUSAC notification that I did send to the board president and to our business administrator. And we might not be CUSAC this year. They might give us a 3-year extension. They use might because of our high-performing status. And we don't know yet. We'll have to still hear about that. But the reason I bring that up is that's when they focus on making sure that all the curriculums are up to date and have been revised within the 5-year span, which have been. Okay. Acceptable use of the computer network. Computers is in your folder, as we've talked about before. And you also find a Victory Road High Performing Leadership Speaker Series in your folder that we are currently looking at to make as part of our freshman transition program. Developing leadership characteristics in our freshmen as their first step to being successful here at Manasquan. It's something that we are looking at, that we feel very good about, we would like to implement, but there is a cost to it, and we'll be coming back to the board about this and how we can meet that cost in the future, in either the next meeting or in the October Committee of the Whole meeting. Finance, Lynn?
Yes, just a quick update. two grant applications, one for the elementary school and one for the high school, were submitted, each for $1,000 for STEM initiatives and STEM professional development for our staff. And these were submitted through Sustainable Jersey for Schools. And earlier, under Building and Grounds, we had an update regarding the Eagle Scout project. Are there any questions or any comments regarding that?
I have a question. Is this Dr. Cajun and I talked about this at our meeting, our monthly meeting. Is it STEM or STEAM they are doing? Because when they presented, I thought, STEAM for the elementary school.
I believe it was.
May I?
Yes.
Yeah. What we originally focused, when they had the presentation that night, it was STEM. And one of the things that Colleen wanted to do was to move towards STEAM because she wanted to incorporate the arts, because she felt that the arts that we had at the elementary school was so strong. And I listened, and she's now incorporated STEAM, but so it's now becoming, it's taking on the aura of a STEAM initiative. But for our focus this year, everything I'm sending her is STEM, and she's gonna pilot putting the arts in there. So eventually will become STEAM, I would think, in high school. Okay. But you are right, it has been STEM, and that was our original initiative.
I thought it was originally STEAM. When they presented, I think they presented STEAM. And then it switched to STEM.
Yeah, the training they got all summer was on STEM.
Okay.
So they incorporated the arts because we wanted to get ready for our engineering academy.
And just one additional item under finance. The grant applications that were submitted, we did receive notification late in the week that we were accepted for both of those grants. So they're in the agenda for approval at the regular business meeting one week from tonight.
And do you coordinate? Are you the one who's the go-to for all the grants? Like when they come out or what's available or what we could apply for or what?
The grants that come through Sustainable Jersey for Schools, yes, I am what they call the program manager. Mm-hmm. However, through that program, they request that we sign up the district and the individual schools, which I went ahead and did. So I believe the building principals also get emails, you know, regarding what the grant opportunities are. But they have a web portal that you can go on and you can review the grants at any time. They come up every 30 to 60 days. There's new grants posted.
Dr. Cajun, is there a push or a impression made upon the administration to review those and try to apply for as many as we possibly can?
Yes, we have weekly leadership meetings. And at our last leadership meeting, Lynn was very focused on presenting what the grants were and thanking them because they did have a part in helping us write letters to get the last grant. So it's now become part of what we do. It's becoming a common practice for us, and Lynn's doing a great job. And once you're on the radar, you receive more grants, and then you learn how to write these grants, and it becomes an art. So we are doing it. So yes, they are being focused on.
Because I'm sure we just hear about, but we're pretty successful as a district, right, with the ones that they apply for to
yes.
get?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We've done well. You've done well in the past with that. And then as we conclude, I'm going to turn this over to Tom to focus on the athletics and community. And we have a Hall of Fame.
The Hall of Fame committee asked me if I would just alert the board that this year's Hall of Fame dinner is Halloween night, October 31st at 7 o'clock at Crystal Point in Point Pleasant. This year's class features Vernon H. King, class of 38, the 1957 track team, Paul Richard, class of 58, Jim Grasdorf, class of 63, the 1969 baseball team, John Rodriguez, class of 73, Chrissy Hilla Savino, class of 88, Aaron Smith, class of 96, and Jax Lanfried, class of 1998. If anyone would like tickets or take out an ad for the ad book, we have the form here, and you can reach, there's phone numbers on here to contact people. But that's always a great night, and I would encourage anybody that wants to go to definitely go. It's a good time.
Thank you.
That's all.
Any other questions? That conclude our committee of the whole.
Number 12, public forum on agenda items. Time may be allocated for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allotted a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears the public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes in duration. Individuals wishing to address the board should be recognized by the presiding officer and shall give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and/or by an individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. During the public participation portions of this meeting, the board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion, or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on items on this agenda only, please. Would anybody from the public like to be heard on the agenda? Mr. Bartholomew.
Good evening. Mr. Bartholomew, 121 Lake Avenue here in Madison Square. This has to do with the closed session that's going to happen at this meeting. There are a couple of topics in here that are pretty clear that they comply with the Open Public Meetings Act 9 sections that they can be discussed in closed session. Certainly litigation, certainly the contract negotiations. When it comes to personnel, that may or may not be. And there's another item under Manasquan Ascending Districts called Athletic Department to be discussed in closed session. So I would just suggest or request that when the resolution is read during the closed session, that you do describe the general nature, I believe the law calls for the general nature of the topic to be discussed. Personnel has been deemed by courts in many cases to be too vague. And Athletic Department, I don't know where that could fit under the nine.
I don't see any other athletics that's for closed session.
Well,
unless you have a different agenda than I have.
No, I have the one that I picked up over here.
Personnel, legal, and negotiations.
It's just above professional days
Tom, on page 7, athletics discussed in executive session.
So whatever that is, I'm just asking that before you bring the closed session and you do the resolution, that you indicate the general nature of that topic.
That's a misprint. That's a misprint.
And if you would also indicate some short sustained conformance with the OPMA, the time and or circumstances under which those discussions might become public. Thanks.
Seeing no one else? Takes us to the Manasquan items for next week. General items under 13. Does anyone have any question on the Manasquan items? Take that as a no. Item number 14, the Manasquan Sunny District items for next week. Does anybody have any questions on those? Take that as a no also. Brings us to old and new business. Does anyone have any old business for the board? Any new business? We are at the second public forum. Would anybody like to be heard on any item, agenda or otherwise? Yes, sir.
Chris Daly, CoStar. I guess I'm not too familiar. What do you mean by the term challenger? When you're talking about the polls?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what is that?
According to the law, a challenger is someone who has the right to represent a candidate at the polls and actually challenge those people who come to vote to ask to see their voter registration card, to ask to see their eligibility. And actually, I should turn this over to our astute attorney.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
All right, Michael.
Well, it's for any election, whether it be a primary election, a general election. Any candidate, as the superintendent was saying, has the right to utilize challengers to basically monitor on behalf of the candidate the election process to make sure that the people who are coming in are registered to vote, that they are eligible to vote. And as a result of that, candidates have, and I guess now they're permitting two challengers per candidate, obviously, but in this particular situation, it's for the referendum project. The only candidate is the school district. So the school district is being given the opportunity to make sure that with volunteer challengers, that they would be able to monitor the polling places to ensure the eligibility of the voters who come in. And if there's a concern or a challenge, that's the reason they're called challengers, is they have the ability to challenge the eligibility of a voter if they show up at the polls and something doesn't seem right, and they would then go to a judge and figure out whether that person was or was not eligible to vote.
So it's to the challenger's discretion who they choose to, I guess.
Well, but they have to have some substance for it, obviously. Right. But they're armed with the registration books to know who was registered, and make sure that people who are deceased don't vote, things like that. Right. That they're just keeping track of those things.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else like to be heard?
But for the record, Chris, that's a definition. You asked for a definition of what challenger is. Sure. You did not ask us what the challengers were going to be doing for us at the polls. You asked for a definition of the challenger. That is the definition of challengers.
Well, would your challenger be doing anything different than that?
The challenges that we have will not be challenging people at the polls. That's not their purpose. They're just there to be at the polls to represent the district in case there's any discrepancies there. Okay?
Yeah. Executive session. Whereas the Senator Byron M. Baer Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, the Act, provides that the Massachusetts Board of Education may hold an executive session from which the public is excluded to discuss matters that are confidential or are one of the 9 subject matters listed in Section 12B of the Act, and whereas it is recommended by the superintendent that the Manasquan Board of Education go into executive session on this date in Manasquan, New Jersey, to discuss matters that are permissible for discussion in executive session, and whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 60 minutes, after which the public meeting of the board shall reconvene and proceed with business, and whereas the board hereby declares that its discussion of the following subjects will be made public at a time when the public's interest in disclosure is greater than any privacy or governmental interest being protected from disclosure. Now, therefore, be it resolved the Manasquan Board of Education that the board shall go into an executive session to discuss the following items. Number 1, confidential matters per state or court order, that is in relation to a student matter. Number 4, collective bargaining, that is an update on the negotiations with the Manasquan Education Association. Number 7, litigation or contract matters or attorney-client privilege, which is in reference to an ongoing litigation. And number 8, personnel matters, which will be related to hiring and or retirements. Items discussed in executive session may result in board action when the board reconvenes to public session. Do we have a motion to go to executive session? Mrs. Muley, do we have a second? Mr. Clayton, all those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Can we do the negotiations first?
You can come.
What?
You can come.
Come now?
Yep.
Okay.